Jamie Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon, a day where the streak ends for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's over at 10 games, a 2-1 loss this afternoon to the Chicago White Sox. But of course, Rider Nation getting ready for the back 40 bash on Friday night against the Calgary Stampeders.
Everything you need to get ready for game day.
Now, the Green Zone's NFL and CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
Dave Naylor is here on a Wednesday afternoon. David, how was Newfoundland and Labrador?
It was beautiful. Fresh air, good people, lovely sights, and it's like you're away from the world, you know? Like, I was in a town of about 250 people. Like, the cops come through town on Tuesday. The kind of place I was at.
Oh, so you weren't on George Street?
No, I was on the other side of the island. I was on the West Coast, like an 8-hour drive away.
Yeah. Like Portobas, Gros Morne area?
The Gros Morne National Park, that is it.
Oh, I've been there. That is beautiful.
It is. My former colleague from my days at the Globe and Mail, Stephen Brunt, has had a place out there for about 25 years, and I think it was about my fourth or fifth time out there visiting. So, it was good. It's weird, though, because you just leave and it's like you're on another planet, right? Like a good planet, but it really does feel like you left the rest of the world behind.
Oh, we had him on last week when you were away, and we were losing him. We had a tough phone connection, so he had to crawl into the loft.
I literally climbed a ladder while I was talking to Locker to get to a place where the signal was good.
He goes, can you hear me now? I'm in a loft.
It's amazing you could be that far away. Like, I'm on the west coast of Newfoundland, an island in the North Atlantic, and yet by moving 6 feet, I can get a better signal.
Okay, Dave, let's get into the suspension today. For the BC Lions, Toray, he gets suspended. A couple of fines coming from the Montreal Alouettes. Are you surprised there is only one suspension from that brawl between the Lions and Alouettes?
I am, because it was the kind of graphic that, and I don't want to besmirch another sport, but it looked like a hockey brawl, right? It looked like one of those viral tapes that comes out from, a junior C game in Manitoba or something like that. Somebody's got a phone and all, and it's just not a good look for the league. Now, I guess when they dug into it, they ultimately determined that, that the players were, that one was retaliating and one had instigated. I mean, that's usually the determining factor in those cases. So, football suspensions, though, I would say, I think sometimes you got to remember, a suspension in football is a big, big deal because you only play 18 games. And I see this conversation all the time. People are like, oh, give them a game, give them two. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not hockey, which is now, playing 84, they just announced the other day. So I think there is a hesitancy to suspend in football still, especially for when it's like it's a melee like that. So I'm surprised that I'm not, but I think the bar for suspension, actually sitting players down, taking paychecks away, forcing coaches to find other guys, is again higher than people kind of give it credit for.
Dave, we got a week 6 3-game schedule. We'll kick things off on Friday night. Stamps are in town taking on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Saturday, we see the Red Blacks and the Ticats, and then Sunday, Lions and Elks. I guess out of those three games, the one we're most interested in is obviously the Friday night matchup. And let's start with this. Are the Stamps for real?
I mean, I don't know how you say they're not after Winnipeg. And in fact, Locker, I think where we left off the conversation last week, you were asking me about, we were doing some chatter about that week's slate of games. And I said, Calgary is one of those teams that has kind of surprised us early on and certainly looks more cohesive, more crisp, sharp than we would have expected with so many new players and that. But when Winnipeg rolled in there, it was kind of like, okay, this is one of those test games. If you survive this test, it changes the way we think of this team. And, I mean, that was a, I don't want to say shocking, but I would say highly surprising win by Calgary. Against, I think, a very good Winnipeg team.
Yeah.
So, that to me, that was a bit of a statement victory for them. Right? And I think you see teams that kind of pull themselves out of that territory where they only win games if kind of everything goes their way, and the other team beats themselves. And Winnipeg certainly didn't play very well. But I think the Stamps are kind of out of that basement. And I might add the Elks are as well. I think that not just their win over Ottawa, but their performance at Winnipeg the week before, where they went in there against that team, you know, and it was on a roll in front of that crowd and played them tough late. I know, you know, not everybody loves moral victories, but I do think sometimes the way you play, particularly on the road when you're an up-and-coming team that's been on the bottom, you can build belief in sometimes in losses. I think that's what Edmonton did and carried that, you know, with them into the win over Ottawa. So, but yeah, I got to say the Stamps are for real. And, you know, Vernon Adams is playing very well, and they're getting a great run game, too. That's the other thing. It's not all on VA. And I think that's a big part of what is kind of contributed to their success.
Our CFL insider, Dave Naylor, is here on the Green Zone. Coming up next, we're going to dig into the Winnipeg side. Should they be concerned? Almost, they were tied with the Edmonton Elks. Now they lose to the Calgary Stampeders. Dig into more of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but also that, I don't know what was going on there with the Elks and Trey Ford. And then Cody Fajardo comes in. And then Trey Ford takes over. And then Cody Fajardo's back in again. He goes 2-0. What's going on with the Edmonton Elks?
No one
and their QB rotation.
Any idea what was going on, even on the call.
Even in a victory against Ottawa. That's coming up with Dave Naylor right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. It is a hot one in Saskatchewan. It should be cooled off a little bit for game day Friday. Friday night football, the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. I think easily the game of the week, the 4-0 Riders, the 3-1 Stamps. As we continue to talk to our CFL insider from TSN, Dave Naylor. But I'm curious, do you have an explanation on what was going on with Trey Ford? He's in there, he's playing well, and then here comes Cody Fajardo for a series. He gets a first down and then a punt, and then Trey Ford's playing well, and then late in the third quarter, okay, Cody Fajardo going there, and it's a 2-and-out. What are we doing here when it came to Mark Killam's rotation of quarterbacks in that win over Ottawa?
Yeah, you may have noticed neither our broadcast team in the stadium nor the folks back in studio were big fans of this move, and it was curious. I think it's especially curious because the whole narrative of the Trey Ford experience in the CFL has been, okay, we're going to give you some rope. Nope, you're coming out. You know, you're not starting next game. And the whole premise of this year was, hey, we're going to give him that leash. We're going to live with some of the bumps. And, you know, when I talked to Jordan McSimmick, their offensive coordinator, about 2 weeks ago, you know, he kind of said, hey, the standard for Trey is just keep improving. Like, they don't need to be perfect. But if he's better 1 week to the next, to the next, to the next, you know, he's going to hold on to his job. And that was why it was so strange, because it's in that context. Now, here's the explanation, as I got it from the outs today, is basically they don't want to be in a situation where if something happens to Trey Ford, that Cody Fajardo hasn't played since last November. So they want to get him some live reps, which, again, makes sense. They also believe that by pulling Trey out for a series, a half or so, or whatever they did, that he can learn in-game on the fly from witnessing things from the sideline. So for them, there's sort of two purposes there. It also, I'll throw in a third, you know, it does kind of plant in the seed of the opposition that, well, you might see both guys, you know, and you've got to kind of prepare for different packages and different things that Cody Fajardo might do the Trey Ford role. So there's, in theory, there's three reasons for it. I just think it's really curious, given the interrupted development of Trey Ford and the commitment to let that development kind of run this year. Now, all that said, I think the Elks have to be delighted with how Trey Ford has improved from week one, two, three, to right up to today. I mean, I think every game he's been better. And I think it's interesting that as his pocket passing and, you know, making the necessary simple plays has gotten better, his tendency to rush has gone down. He's not only, you know, not escaping the pocket as quickly as he used to, kind of, you know, little happy feet and getting out of the pocket before he should, but they're just not using him as a runner, which I find that curious, because that's an elite skill set. But maybe it's just in order to make him evolve as a pocket passer, you got to kind of take that away from him a little bit. So that's the other part of his development that's been curious. But it's nice to see that Trey Ford seems to have arrived as, you know, at the very least, a serviceable starting quarterback in the CFL. And, of course, we won't know his ceiling for much longer. That's the whole purpose of this way the Elks are doing this, is to try to tap that ceiling. But it did certainly have, you know, a few people, including me, scratching my head on Sunday.
Dave, we had Darren Bombing on recently to have a conversation about the Bombers lost last week to Calgary. Calgary is a surprise this year for everyone. No one had them 3-1 coming into the Riders and a battle of the best of the West. Now, he kind of dodged the should the Winnipeg Blue Bombers be concerned question. I'll throw it at you.
No, I don't think so. And again, I think they look, you know, this is not an old team. A lot of the guys that were kind of getting on and long in the tooth have moved on. They still got some age on the roster. And you look at the way they played the first few weeks. The one thing that's kind of odd is that the Bombers, the last few seasons, have had that game where they just get thumped. For, you know, the early part of this five-year run, it was like Winnipeg, they always gave you their A game. You know, you never, ever saw a game where they just didn't look like themselves. But we've seen that in each of the last few years. And it's interesting, when I think about those games, they usually involve the BC Lions. And the BC Lions were quarterbacked by Vernon Adams, you know, who, of course, is now in Calgary and led the beat down on them, you know, right out of the gate the other night. So, you know, if the Bombers have a problem, it might be a Vernon Adams Jr. problem, because he seems to have some kind of kryptonite effect on them. That was just one of those games that I say, we've seen a couple of them like that in the last few years where they just, it's kind of an anomalous game on their schedule. So, no, I would not be deeply concerned if I was the Bombers. I mean, the fact they didn't run the ball very well, I guess, was the part that surprised me. And maybe we just are reminded how important Brady Oliveira and the run game is to that offense, because he had, 61 yards or something like that in that game, 13 for 61, averaged less than 5 yards a carry. And that definitely does change the dynamic. Some of that was the game script with Calgary getting up early, but the Bombers, like most teams, are better when they're balanced, and that was a good example of it on the weekend.
Dave, I'm going to go to Ottawa. I've been pondering this the last couple of weeks, seeing Rick Campbell standing on the sidelines next to Bob Dice.
Yep.
How hot is the seat for Bob Dice if the wins don't start coming here now that Drew Brown is healthy?
Yeah, I think this could get hot, pretty hot in the next couple of weeks. And it's one of those things, guys, when, I mean, here's the dynamic. Rick Campbell hired Bob Dice to be on that staff in Ottawa. Bob Dice is the common link back to, like, the Grey Cup season, you know, of whatever that was, 2018. Like, he's been on the staff the entire time. And of course, he hires Rick Campbell to be, you know, his special teams coordinator. So, you know, one of the questions would be, well, like, why would you do that, right? Because you're now putting the next coach on your staff. I guess the rationale would be this. The only thing that really is going to guarantee Bob Dice's job, that he keeps the job, is if they win. And if he thinks they have a better staff with Rick Campbell, then that's going to improve their chances of winning, which by, you know, automatically, you know, helps his chances of keeping his job. If he hired somebody who wasn't as good a coach as Rick Campbell to coach special teams, potentially the team's not as good, and then he gets fired. So I think it shows that he is confident and understands the dynamic here, that it is about winning. But Ottawa's a team where and this is where coaches get fired, guys. You know this. It's not when you lose the coaches get fired. It's when you lose against the backdrop of expectations. And last year in Ottawa, that team took a leap forward. Hey, hands up here. My preseason Grey Cup prediction is Saskatchewan and Ottawa. Looking good on one out of two. But two things, I think the other thing about Ottawa that would, you know, I think contribute to this conversation is, I don't think that's a bad roster. Now, they got a ton of injuries. They got a ton of Canadian injuries, and every team with a losing record in CFL history always cites injuries. But they are the extreme case when you look at it. They're getting some guys back this week. They lost a couple more. But it's not. I don't think that's a roster that's devoid of talent. So, you know, they got a real important stretch right here. They got back-to-back against Hamilton. Then they got Calgary visiting at Ottawa. And then they've got at Toronto. So that's four winnable games, unless you think the Stamps are like real Grey Cup contenders. But back-to-back Hamilton, Calgary, Toronto. I think this next four games is going to go a long way to dictating, you know, what happens in Ottawa.
And, of course, the game of the week, can't wait for Friday Night Football. It is the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. Dave, always appreciate your time, and we will chat again next week.
Hey, it should be a great scene, and I'm looking forward to that one as well, guys.
That is Dave Naylor, our CFL insider analyst here on The Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you here on The Green Zone on CJME and CKO. I'm getting set for Friday Night Football. The Riders and the Calgary Stampeders at Mosaic Stadium. As the 3-1 Stampeders, the surprise of the CFL, will be coming in. Also, today we found out that watched the Toronto Blue Jays' 10-game winning streak coming to an end, 2-1 loss to the Chicago White Sox. Went 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position today. Very rare over this 10-game streak. But in the law of averages, after you're hot sometimes, you're not every once in a while. And the Blue Jays definitely not that today in a 2-1 loss to the Chicago White Sox.
Not making any mistakes defensively today from the look of it. And they had some problems. The Jays had lots of running issues on the field as well. So we got the All-Star break next week.
In the Green Zone Lounge earlier today, we were talking about some different stories going on in the world of sports. One of those stories had to do with Christian Horner being booted from Red Bull Racing in F1. We were also talking about a little baseball, of course, the Toronto Blue Jays. We've talked flag football. And we were really questioning, like, F1. Are you in on F1? We talked about with the F1 movie coming out.
Yeah.
And then it spiraled into a bigger conversation of, with just CFL football going on right now.
Tell your Jays story. I thought that was
kind of interesting. And the Toronto Blue Jays becoming a thing. And last night, this happened to me last night. And I don't want to get anybody in trouble because I go to the same place to buy my groceries all the time. And they've realized who I am now. Now I go, hey, Jamie, when I walk in. So I don't want to get anybody in trouble there. But last night I went through the quick checkout lane, grabbed a few things, vegetables and stuff like that. And I'm at the counter. And I noticed that she's young. I don't know. I'm
20?
Bad with ages now.
21?
20-ish. Maybe 19.
So she's the one that's watching.
Maybe 18.
Over,
I don't know.
She's the one watching over the self-checkout.
Yeah, she's at the self-checkout, rings in the thing,
yeah.
Scan the scene card.
Yeah. There you go.
And I notice she has the Blue Jays game on her phone. I said, what's the score? 5-0. I go, 10 straight wins. She said, damn right. Then it's like, let's go.
Yeah, that's cool.
So clearly people have caught on with Blue Jays fever a little bit more now that they're winning. And with the F1 stories coming out, we're like, what?
Well, I told you about my daughter. My oldest daughter lives in Toronto. And her husband, the son-in-law, Jake, they casually pay attention to hockey. But they are Raptors fans and Blue Jays fans. And I'll tell you why. Because they go to the games. Because you can get a Raptors ticket without taking out a second mortgage. And you can go to a Jays game for $20-$30, right? So they've become fans of the Blue Jays and the Raptors. They're basketball fans. I have basketball conversations with Jake all the time.
So we were pondering, what's a sport you pay attention to that you're thinking, you guys on the Green Zone need to pay a lot more attention to this? Or maybe we do pay attention to it. But because, yes, we talk a lot of Rider football, and when NFL season comes up and the National Hockey League, those are the big ticket items.
Yeah.
That's what gets people talking.
That's your main course.
But what's your sport? What's the sport that you follow that you're like, you Green Zone guys need to talk more about this? You play producer for us here on the Green Zone.
Yeah, pick a sport that we don't cover enough in your opinion. Sean from Pilot Butte wants us to cover NASCAR. I think Kurt was kidding. Kurt sent us a breakdancing gif.
Oh, what was her name from the Olympics? The Australian
teacher?
Yeah, she had a nickname or something.
I'll tell you what she did. She ruined that sport forever going back to the Olympics. Like
how Eddie the Eagle ruined ski jumping from the 88 Olympics in Calgary. Turned it into a joke
I'll be surprised if it ever goes back.
But NASCAR. Okay, Sean. I know there's a lot of NASCAR fans out there. Speaking of stock car racing, sorry to get a distraction. Did you see the video of former Rough Rider Brendan Labatt doing 3 barrel roll flips in Estevan over the weekend? Glad he walked away from that one, but whoo, He was he's a race car. He is a driver and was a driver when he was playing for the Riders and in the CFL. But yeah.
I will say this. I'm not into the F1s or the NASCARs or any of the racing. I'm not into the car stuff at all. I never have been. I watched the F1 movie on the weekend, and I thought it was good, but it's not going to get me. Drive to Survive, I never did jump in. Mm-hmm. I told you the reason why. I don't even want to get into why I didn't do that. I didn't watch that. But the thing about that is I'm not naive. You have to be a pretty phenomenal athlete to drive a car, right? It's not just quick
some
reflexes.
People, they're not athletes.
No,
oh
no, no, no. I think they're serious athletes.
You need to be very athletic. The hand-eye coordination, the
100%.
Braking, all that, the attention to detail for that long. I mean, you're going that fast. Yeah. Somebody texted in 1-877-332-8255. Burl from Vanscoy. What about rodeo? Summer in Saskatchewan. There's rodeos every weekend. Yes, there are. By the way, I think he's 19. Grady Young out of Leader, Saskatchewan. Have you heard what he's doing at the Calgary Stampede? He's a bull rider, and he's got the top two scores for two straight days. 87 yesterday, riding Shake It Off. I love bull ride, the bull
names.
Shake It Off, and the day before that, scored a 91. So
the interesting
he's doing
thing
well.
About the bull riding. Again, there's another sport where you have to be a very, very good athlete, but you also have to be a little bit crazy. I think no.
Yeah.
They came to us years ago.
I used to cover the rodeo in Edmonton. That
yeah.
was so fun.
So they asked our show in Edmonton, Jamie. They asked us to do the poker thing.
Ha! Not a chance.
No, and I pulled the pin on that.
I'd be the first one out. You that bull goes in the ring. I'm heading for the fences.
My
see you later. I lose. Here's my money.
My co-host was like Grant. He was like, I'd do it. You want to do? And I'm like, no.
No. Nope.
Have you seen Jackass?
Nope.
That didn't go well for any of them.
Okay. Derek's on the road. Derek, what do you got for us?
I think you guys should do a little bit more coverage on lacrosse and especially potentially some springtime local lacrosse. Right now, Regina, the Queen City Kings, a Junior B lacrosse team that plays in the Rocky Mountain Lacrosse League.
Nice.
Is arguably one of the top two or three teams in Western Canada right now. They've qualified for the playoffs to be in the Eastern Final and also the Founders Cup, which is the national championship that is in Calgary this year in August. And I think as far as the rush in the winter, you guys got some pretty good local springtime stuff as well with the Saskatchewan SWAT Junior A and Junior B team that play out of Saskatoon.
Right okay. on, Derek. Lacrosse, put it on the list. 1-877-332-8255.
That's a great spectator sport, too. Lacrosse.
Greg in Saskatoon. What do you think, Greg?
Well, you know, Friday night we're going to have a really good SmackDown because SmackDown before a pay-per-view is always good. Saturday night, we got Saturday night main event, right? Goldberg is going to be fighting Gunter. That's going to be a great match. Sunday night, we've got Evolution, an all-female pay-per-view. You know, it's like, you guys don't talk enough wrestling. And like, but what's happening on Monday night?
Monday Night Football?
It doesn't matter what's happening. You got Monday Night Raw.
Greg wants pro wrestling.
Yeah, we should talk. Scotty would love us to talk more about the skits.
Yeah. Producer Scott's a big pro wrestler. He actually does have a podcast to talk about pro wrestling.
Well, let's plug his podcast.
I don't know what it's called. Are you kidding me?
In My House, Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can find that one on YouTube.
There, see?
As well as wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you would promote his YouTube? You kidding me? You're not Britain and me? I'm offended.
I stand across from you all day.
Okay, Dave, what do you think? Play producer. What are we talking about a little bit more, or what should we be talking about a little bit more?
Well, I just got back from the barbershop, and and all the guys, all they were talking about was soccer, but I'm not a soccer guy. But I think one thing that I started following here recently is like the ATV and motocross racing.
Okay.
Are ATVs or the bikes too?
Yeah, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
See, this is where I sports nerd out a little bit. If I have control of a television in my, and there's, I will put on anything. I will watch motocross. I will watch darts. I will watch soccer.
I'll watch cornhole. I'll watch that.
I watched cornhole an hour. I watched about 2 hours of cornhole one time, and I couldn't believe it.
Pickleball. Have you seen the Pickleball channel? There's a full channel dedicated to pickleball.
We're not talking pickleball. Sorry. That's not doing
it. That's a great sport.
1-877-332-8255. The texts are coming in as well as you play producer. A lot of people are talking about F1.
Yeah, I think F1. F1's probably come in the most. I'm surprised we got a couple of tennis. I thought maybe tennis would come in because we don't talk a lot about tennis. Oh, and we woke up the wrestling nerds.
Yeah.
Here they come.
Here come.
Have you heard about Jay Springs up the handball? Have you seen the handball? Like it's bigger in Europe, like professional handball. I don't know the rules or I don't get it, but I've seen it a couple of times. It looks pretty serious.
But there was, if you want more F1, we're going to talk about it next. This is a huge story in F1 racing today. That will be interesting in the ramifications of what it means for one of the biggest, most successful teams over the last 20 years. A big change at Red Bull. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. If you want my future. Jamie and Locker with a year in the green zone. Well, Ginger Spice's husband is out of work. Jerry Halliwell is married to Christian Horner, who has been the CEO and team principal of Red Bull Racing since the beginning. 20 years, multiple constructors' championships, multiple drivers' championships, but today fired as the team principal. It's effective immediately. They're on a 2-week break between races after the British Grand Prix, getting ready for the Belgium Grand Prix in a couple of weeks, and he is gone. He was amid turmoil at the beginning of last season.
It was the texting stuff?
Investigation with inappropriate text to a female employee of Red Bull Racing. He was cleared of that, although someone, after he was cleared, disclosed and leaked the actual text messages. It didn't look too good. Bit of a power struggle going on at Red Bull Racing and a very unhappy Max Verstappen, who's won 4 straight driver's titles.
So he's the top of the heap right now, Max?
Well, not this year, but he has been the last couple of years. Now it's McLaren and their two racers, Piastri and Lando Norris, who are battling at the top of the drivers. And he's not happy, hasn't been happy with the car. Might have some out clauses to sign somewhere else. We'll see what his future is with Red Bull. There's a couple of different theories.
Is this a him or me?
That's one of the theories. Verstappen went, he goes or I go. Or maybe Verstappen's already gone and they're not happy that Christian Horner didn't get him re-signed, so he's out. Because this is about the time of the season where you start to hear who's signing with who for next year.
Okay.
When it comes to,
when is the season F1 over? I know nothing about this.
They're halfway through, so the season's going to be wrapping up in a couple of months. But there's
also the conversation right now about Apple jumping into the broadcasting side of F1, right?
It's huge business, this F1 thing. But Christian Horner is out at Red Bull as their team principal. We'll see what the future is for the 4-time world champion Max Verstappen. Well, within that team going forward.